Dear participants, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Lieke de Jong. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome to this conference call on DSM's half one 2020 results, which we published earlier this morning. I have both Geraldine and Machette and Dimitri de Vreeze, co-CEOs of DSM, on the line. Dimitri will walk you through our performance this time, and then both Dimitri and Geraldine are available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning, so until 8:30. As a reminder, today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I'd now like to hand the call over to Dimitri. Dimitri, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lieke, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to this call on DSM's first 6 months of 2020. Truly hope that you and your loved ones have managed to stay safe during this testing time. And I have to say, we are continued to be amazed by our resourcefulness and determination of our employees, as well as our partners and also our customers. Together, we have kept supply chains moving while keeping people safe and healthy. I'm also proud that our teams continue to apply their scientific know-how and resources to support the fight against COVID-19. And we had many global and local initiatives around the world, initiated by local. These included manufacturing and delivering 2.8 million nose swabs, which we had just started when we spoke in May, and we produced 390,000 liters of disinfectants. We also distributed millions of free immunity-optimizing products to communities, healthcare workers, but also to every DSM employee and their families worldwide. I have to say that the global human impact of the COVID-19 pandemic is a clear lesson to us all. And that's why we as DSM have joined several global Build Back Better initiatives. And these advocate for economic recovery policy that will increase society's resilience to global emergencies. And as a purpose-led organization, we believe it's more important than ever for the world to commit to a more sustainable, fair, and resilient future. And on that note, I'm very pleased to share that we're making great progress on our own sustainability performance. And I just want to give you a few highlights. We're well on track with respect to our greenhouse gas emissions, energy efficiencies, and purchased renewable electricity targets. In addition to that, about 63% of our sales in the first half were products and services that have a better environmental or social impact than mainstream alternatives. And we call them brighter living solutions. We have deliberately kept a strong focus on our longer-term ability to deliver our purpose-led and performance-driven strategy, which means seeking the right balance between short-term measures and continuing to build for the future. This has been visible also in our decision to acquire the Erber Group, which will strengthen our specialty animal health and nutrition solution offerings, and will enhance our diagnostic capabilities. It's also visible in materials, where we have accelerated our existing profit improvement initiative without harming our readiness to serve our customers when the recovery starts. And this being said, let's turn back to the first 6 months' results and start with some of the financial highlights. We're pleased to report a solid first 6 months, especially given the extraordinary market dynamics, with an adjusted EBITDA slightly down on flat sales, but cash generation up 33% year-to-date. Furthermore, our net profit on an adjusted basis, after excluding some one-offs, was only slightly down by 4%. If we look more specifically at the performance of our nutrition and materials businesses, let's start with nutrition. Overall nutrition delivered a good performance, with sales up 6% and adjusted EBITDA up 5%, driven by a solid underlying performance. Yes, there were spikes in demand driven by COVID-19 during this six-month period, but the net result was only a slightly positive overall effect. The first half results were enhanced by two recent acquisitions, which accelerate our growth strategy. These further build our specialty nutrition and health business offerings and offering advanced and differentiated solutions. Firstly, CSK offers taste, texture, and biopreservation solutions for semi-hard cheeses. Maybe some of you in the call know the Gouda cheese, strengthening DSM food and beverage offering. Secondly, Glycom, an acquisition with the only fully integrated HMO supplier in the world, which strengthened our early life nutrition solutions and has very interesting applications in the areas of medical nutrition and pet food. And finally, in June, we announced the acquisition of the Erber Group, which we expect to close in quarter four. With this acquisition, DSM will gain market leadership in mycotoxin prevention, as well as increase our strong market position in animal gut health solutions. We will gain additional premix facilities and a new diagnostic and testing capability center. The first half was, of course, more challenging for materials, with volumes down 14% compared to prior year and adjusted EBITDA down 28%. Customer operations and end-user demand deteriorated rapidly by the end of Q1 owing to COVID-19, with the weaker demand persisting throughout quarter two. We see some signs of recovery, although its timing and shape remains uncertain. Ultimately, the long-term trends that drive our business, in particular our high-quality specialty businesses, remain in place. And as mentioned earlier, to counter these near-term conditions, we initiated strict cost control measures and minimized cash outflows in the first half. In the second half, we are implementing new actions as part of a wider set of restructuring initiatives aimed at improving business performance, which will deliver annualized recurring cost savings of about 25 to 30 million. With our balanced approach, we will not take reactive measures that compromise the growth potential of our business, but we are ready to take additional actions should we see persisting issues for individual end markets. Moving on to the outlook. There is still considerable uncertainty about how the pandemic will develop and what will be the global ramifications. So given this lack of visibility, we have not changed our full year outlook. That means our overall earnings outlook remains suspended, and we still expect nutrition to deliver at least a mid-single digit increase in adjusted EBITDA. And with that, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. And to be registered for the question and answer queue, please press star one. So star one for your questions. Go ahead, please. The first question is from Mr. Andrew Noel, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Could you talk a little bit about July and how that's evolved in terms of, you know, the volume of orders and if that's just a continuation of June or you know, is there some improvement there? Do you want me to do them one by one or just chuck them all at you at once?
Pete, go ahead and just give all your questions, then we will take them in the right order.
Okay, all right.
Andrew, this first one was linked to materials, right?
Or
in general.
Materials would be the most, that's true. The second one is I wanted to ask about DSM.
Go ahead, Andrew. I thought it was indeed a general question, but sorry.
Okay. Second one was just on natural colors, color solutions at DSM. I know you don't break out the numbers, but just wondering if you can give an indication of the size of this business and if it's an interesting area for you, because it's not so prominent in your portfolio. And the third one was on eye health. Obviously, it's been growing massively. I just wondered logistically how you're handling that. Are you sort of investing in warehousing and maybe bringing in the online sales part in-house, or you're using external? I just want to know how that's sort of developing on the logistical front as it's gaining considerable size now. I've got a couple of others, but I better leave it there.
Start with three. Did you want to get started with the materials evolution in July?
Yeah, let's do that. So, I mean, overall, I think what we've seen, and let's not only do materials, do a quick preview also human nutrition, animal nutrition, materials. Obviously, the question was more triggered to materials, but I think overall, I think nutrition is in a good shape. I think human nutrition had a strong Q2, and we've also indicated certainly in the dietary supplement area with the increased awareness on how nutrition could help health and the immunity system, and that continues. On the animal nutrition space, we basically saw that there was silo loading in quarter one. We saw some destocking in Q2, and most probably that will continue into Q3. And then for materials, I think we don't know exactly how COVID will develop. And that's also why we, for materials, basically said, we have lack of visibility to give indication. And therefore, just to give some transparency, we gave you a bit of evolution throughout the quarter. So April, May was about 20 to 25% down in volume. June was about 15% down in volume. And July, we're already at August here, so July is down around 10 to 12%. So we do see some recovery, but we also know that lockdowns being released but then implied again have an impact on our customer operation. So it's very difficult to judge how that further evolves. But that, Andrew, gives you a bit of feel on how that developed over the quarter.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now,
and you want to say colors?
Yeah, I'll do the colors. So indeed, we don't split it out. To give you a feeling, our main activity within colors is carotenoids, which for those on the call who don't are not familiar, is basically from the very light yellow to the close to red. And that is something that has actually a dual purpose, because carotenoids that go, for example, in the feed for chickens and for salmon do impact the color of the yolk, but also is actually an antioxidant, so keep the animal healthy. So it's got a dual purpose, a nutritional and a color. And of course, these carotenoids can also go in all the food and beverage applications. So this is really where we're predominantly active, and but we don't split out the size of the color business.
Is it interesting for you though, that segment, something that you're looking at?
It's clearly part of, when you look at the food space, you have texture, you have taste, you have nutritional content, and you have color as one of the elements that go into food development. So it's of interest, but predominantly, where there's a relationship with texture and nutrition is where we're most interested. But it's something that we've had for many, many years.
Okay.
And then maybe to your last question, Andrew, on eye health. Indeed, eye health, certainly in these times where immunity is important, I think the Good Health, the Culturelle brand on eye health is doing pretty well. The logistics as well as the sales are, we call that partnership. So part we do ourselves, partly we do in partnerships. Depending on the region, we also do online sales externally. So it's not just one model which is applied on all. So it's basically depending per region, depending per product, and we do what is smartest in terms of route to market. So there's not an easy answer to your point, but we tailor based on the need. For instance, in China, we also sell the eye health related products via the online channels there. So it is a mixture of both.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Bartmeier, Reuters. Go ahead, please, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Just to elaborate a bit on what you said about the developments in July and maybe looking ahead a bit further in materials division, could you tell us which parts of the materials divisions are now most worrisome for you, and where which parts you are becoming maybe a bit more optimistic?
Yep. Let's try to give a bit of end market perspective for what we see. So first of all, businesses in automotive are being hit the hardest. I think market is down with about 30% plus. Those are market figures. About 18% of our materials is in automotive, of the material sales. And we feel that the automotive recovery, because it's a very long value chain, will recover slower, because I think all the players in the value chain in automotive have been impacted. So even if lockdowns are eased and people continue and start up buying cars again, it will take a while before the whole value chain is up and running. So that is the, in terms of value chain with the longest impact, I think it's automotive. What you've seen, for instance, on building and construction, where you've seen some of our customers like PPG and Akzo reporting improved numbers in quarter two with a pickup, is because this value chain is a bit shorter. So if the demand is picked up, you easily see that throughout the value chain. So I would say automotive is the longer value chain, and therefore it takes a while before that's fully recovered when demand will recover. Building and construction is where we see signs of improvement. On the other hand, we also have businesses like fiber optic materials for the 4G, 5G networks, and we all know that this COVID-19 requests quite some digital capability. So we do see that the developments into employing 4G, 5G networks is improving. That will not have an immediate effect. Those are preparations in terms of projects, but we do expect towards the end of the year that will help our portfolio and our business in 2021. So in that sense, there are pluses and minuses. And the last bit, I think you're familiar with, Dyneema, our strongest fiber. That is not a matter of whether the business is good or bad. I think we have a very strong contract portfolio. But the issue is that the call-offs by the law enforcement agencies and the national and local governments need to take place on those contracts, and they're very busy in working on COVID-19, and therefore these call-offs on these contracts are delayed. So that is a temporary thing. So also towards the end of the year, we will see a pickup there. So it's a basket of things, of businesses which are impacted with a differentiated approach on recovery. And that's one of the reasons why we also want to create time to make the right decisions and not decide on a one-size-fits-all approach.
Okay, thank you. And overall, the fact that you do not give an outlook is because you do not see to which extent the materials division will shrink, but we should expect a minus for the whole of 2020.
Yeah, maybe let me jump in here because it's on the outlook. So it is indeed difficult to give a fully meaningful guidance. Amongst others, of course, there's the uncertainty of a second wave of corona disruptions, maybe not full lockdowns, but we need to see what happens. So in that sense, it's not easy to time, as Dimitri nicely described, for all of the end markets, the pace at which things will recover, but we remain really confident that the quality of our business is there and the relevance is there. It's more of a timing issue. And as a result, we don't give a guidance, but, you know, we provide July as still being negative, August probably pretty similar. Beyond that, it's difficult to call.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press star one. There's another question from Mr. Andrew Noel. Bloomberg, go ahead, please.
Hi, just if there's no others, I'll cover the other ones. In terms of materials, and obviously that's the area for heavy sort of lifting now, just wondering how managerially does it work? Do you both get pulled into that, or Dimitri, is that a... an area that, you know, you would tend to handle? And on Erba, it's interesting that you could you talk a little bit about the diagnostic equipment, because that's obviously taking you, are they manufacturing equipment that helps you tie in your customer base, so you're selling them products that only work with that their own proprietary diagnostic equipment? And I'm just trying to work out if that's an interesting sideline for you, because it obviously sounds like it's taking you into equipment which would be a bit different. And just on materials, where you talk about sort of leveraging synergies and operating agility, I mean, what does that mean? Is that sort of looking at plant consolidation or anything like that? And when you sort of highlight, you know, further actions, what would be the next steps if things don't go so well in the market?
Yep. All right, let me take the materials related bit, and then Geraldine can do Uber. By the way, I like your second round of questions. on materials, yeah, a managerial. Helen Metz is in our executive committee and is taking my role initially responsible for materials. So she is handling this, and she's in charge of that. So and Geraldine and myself, obviously, as co-CEO, are finally responsible for that decision making. But Helen Metz is in all of this, and she is in our EC as of March, responsible for materials business. So then on the material bit, then on where do we see parts of the efficiencies and synergies? So the program is linked to, like I said, tailored to the end markets, because we don't want to do any regret moves in while we're in the fog. It's very easy to make the wrong decisions. So we want to create some space for us to see more visibility per end market and adapt our actions towards protecting the future, because recovery will start, and then we don't want to have any regret actions implemented before. So we're looking at a tailored approach. We're looking at sourcing, where we share the sourcing over the businesses. We look at shared R&D. We look at operations. So it is all areas where we do see where we, with the current circumstances, we could be more efficient and more effective. So that in terms of materials. Then you, Geraldine, on Erber?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to comment on Erber. So the two businesses of the Erber Group that we're in the process of acquiring are Biomin and Romalabs. So just before I answer the diagnostic, just for a reminder, Biomin is actually producing mycotoxin inhibitors. So what it does, there's basically fungi create toxins in both feed, and then it can go into food, which can be very unhealthy and even fatal in some cases, an overdose for animals and humans. So this is what Biomin has been doing, and there has a lot of R&D and innovation behind that. Now, in parallel, there is what the company call Romalabs, and they do the diagnostics. So they run laboratories they're located on all three continents, and they're doing the testing either for the feed and also for food, which of course for us is very interesting, because while we position this as an animal nutrition acquisition because of the Biomin part, the lab part is both relevant to human and to animal nutrition, and they have test kits and lab. Now, the exact science behind it, I couldn't tell you offhand whether this is equipment which is their own developed, but they have a lot of R&D and innovation in terms of the application of the tests, and there is, of course, a strong relevance in terms of the outcome of the insights with, the ability to develop the right solutions. So they are very much the leader in that space, and that is what makes it very interesting, because there's that additional service stroke digital extension to their offering.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, thanks.
We're very happy that it's now part of DSM. And of course, what we can do is leverage. There's a lot of synergy and leverage points because of our reach in terms of our animal nutrition space, and of course within the with the relevance of our whole human nutrition customer base. So, and I have to say, just to add the cherry on the cake, we have very aligned values. around innovation-driven growth and being purpose-led. So that makes for a very good cultural fit as well.
Thank you. As we're getting close to 8:30 Central European time, it's time to wrap things up. Geraldine, would you care to make some closing remarks?
Yeah, absolutely. So in short, just to summarize, we've had, you know, a solid set of results within what are very dynamic environments. Nutrition continues to do well with solid business conditions for our animal nutrition and human nutrition business, confirming the long-term growth drivers for our nutrition businesses. Materials remains a quality business. In the current environment, of course, there are some operational challenges, but we're taking a very balanced approach to manage these near-term challenges without compromising the future growth of the business. Now, the COVID-19 disruptions, which are a challenge for our people and our business, are, you know, something that keeps us busy. But on the other hand, we do feel that our science base and innovation drive, particularly around sustainability, positions us very well for growth into the future. And with that, Lieke, I'll hand back to you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining the call today. Have a good day. Stay healthy and safe. And with that, I now handle the call back to the operator.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the DSM conference call. Thank you for attending. You may now disconnect your line. Have a nice day.